Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I showed that one picture of myself on Phil TV because I think I look a little bit there like Abraham Lincoln, don't you think?
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, that's blasphemy.
Oh, take it easy, Mark. I'm just kidding around. Welcome back to our show, and it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we're here every night till 1 o'clock, blah, 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 blah. All right, so.
Well, what does that mean?
I'm just going through the motions here. No, I'm not just going through the motions. It's been a very fatiguing couple of days here. As I mentioned on the pre-show, I have insomnia, which means it's just something I've had since I was a kid, believe it or not, you know?
And you wonder what a child, what did you have to worry about as a child?
I wasn't worried as a kid. What happened when I was a kid is you just wake up in the middle of the night and you're so fascinated with the fact that it's the middle of the night that the most boring thing you could think of doing is sleeping. So I would stay awake and I would like read. I would listen to the radio, obviously. And
wait, what do you mean, obviously?
Because that's, you know, it's kind of like I was learning a skill. I was fascinated by the radio. And I didn't know it at the time, though, that while I was enjoying reading and I was enjoying listening to the radio, or maybe I was just enjoying looking out the window at the night, that I was also sort of developing a bad habit, and that was being used to not sleeping at night. And as a result, as an adult, I have these bouts of insomnia, and a lot of insomnia has to do with just, you know, you're not able to calm your mind. You are thinking, and you finally just say, oh, screw it, I'm just going to get up, you know. And such has been the case for me over the last few days. I had a meeting to go to. I hadn't slept. And yesterday, I finally got a good night's sleep last night. So it's been kind of, one foot in front of the other. Now, this has nothing to do with the insomnia thing, but I thought I would say that since you asked me what the hell was going on with me. And I said, I'm just, you know, screwing around.
So in other words, when you went, blah, 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 you were just being silly.
I was being silly, yeah. All right, now. The new Lincoln trailer premiered during the 2012 presidential debate this evening. I don't know whether you guys saw it or not. We're going to play the audio, and I suppose I could play it on Phil TV, but one of the problems with Phil TV is that when we play something off of the internet, we don't necessarily have the audio synced up. If you were tuning into the 2012 presidential debate on either ABC, CBS, or CNN, you got a special treat, a fresh new trailer from the highly anticipated Steven Spielberg film Lincoln. If you've missed it, we've got you covered. It says here, watch the trailer here. Well, I also have the trailer right here, so. The extended TV spot gave viewers a considerable amount of new footage featuring Sally Field and Tommy Lee Jones, and of course Daniel Day-Lewis, who once again reminds us that he was the perfect choice to play Abraham Lincoln. This is the statement made by the E! Entertainment. And now, the subject of Abraham Lincoln. This is kind of ironic, but the subject of Abraham Lincoln, the subject as it is dealt with in the film, because it's based on Doris Goodwin's book, Team of Rivals, and that it's a very involved book. It's a brilliant book. It's a deep history of Lincoln's, not only his life, and the life of Abraham Lincoln is not covered that much in the book. What's covered is really the pivotal years of his presidency. It's a big subject, it's an involved subject, and it's a historical subject, and E! Entertainment weighing. I'm sorry, E!, you guys, you're great people, but you guys have done more than perhaps any other entity, individual or collective, to make people stupid than any television network.
Well, Phil, that is a hell of a thing for you to say to people that work for a living.
I know they work for a living. I'm not saying that they don't work for a living, but I'm not saying that, oh, well, yeah, they're completely conversant and comfortable with a topic like Abraham Lincoln.
Well, it isn't about Lincoln. It's about a film. It's about a movie. It's about the stars of the film. It's about the director of the film.
Right, I understand that. But when they have comments like, yes, Daniel Day-Lewis, the perfect person to play Abraham Lincoln. I'm a huge Daniel Day-Lewis fan. All right?
Well, you said you thought he was the best actor out there right now.
Yeah, you said you thought he's the best actor on the stage that speaks English, or whatever, how he said it.
But so on the English-speaking stage.
On the English-speaking stage, yes, I did. You're right. I just thought it was ironic, E, given props and talking about what is
a very important topic here.
Anyway, let's play the audio now to the film Lincoln, and my good friend Mr. Northcraft, our technical director, He said, I saw it. I said, what'd you think? He said, I don't know what they're trying to say. And I didn't know what Dan was talking about until I actually saw the trailer here a moment ago. There are images of World War I and the space program is, you know, okay. So and all of that is meant to represent moments in American history that are sort of are transcended, or there are moments in American history that don't even come close to what it was that Lincoln represented. So here's the trailer. For every dream,
I think we choose to be born, or we fitted to the times we're born into. We begin with equality. That's the origin, isn't it? That's justice.
See, we've shown that a people can endure awful sacrifice and yet cohere. Shall we stop this bleeding? Abolishing slavery settles the fate for millions now in bondage and unborn millions to come.
It's either the amendment or this Confederate peace. You cannot have both.
No one's loved as much as you by the people. Don't waste that power.
How many hundreds of thousands have died during your administration?
We must cure ourselves of slavery. This amendment is that cure.
God help us for trapping you in a marriage that's only ever given you grief.
The fate of human dignity is in our hands. Blood's been spilled to afford us this moment. Now, now, now.
Never trusted the president, never trusted anyone.
The war will be over in a month.
Tell Lincoln to deny the rumors.
We are guaranteed to lose the whole thing.
Leave the Constitution alone.
You insult God.
You think they'll keep their promise?
I am the president of the United States of America, clothed in immense power.
Rated PG-13, in theaters everywhere, November 16th.
There you go. That's the audio to the trailer of the film Lincoln. And
what? Did you think that Lincoln talked like that?
Yes, I do. And I think when you hear that, especially on radio, you guys listening to that, you hear what they called and what was described as, when Lincoln was alive, a reedy, southern, twangy voice. Obviously, Daniel Day-Lewis did a lot of research on Lincoln, and especially his voice. How do you make somebody sound from history where there are no recordings, you know? What did George Washington sound like? You know, what we only have the written descriptions. If somebody wrote down, well, Washington had a voice like this, and the descriptions of Lincoln's voice are all the same, pretty much. He had this thin, high-sounding voice, a voice that had that southern twang. And I think that you know, down through the years, theatrically, Lincoln's been represented as a guy who had this, Martha, Mary, or whatever the hell, what was the name of?
Mary Todd Lincoln. My God, Phil.
Well, okay, excuse me. But he had talked like this, you know, or whatever. And no, he didn't. He had a higher sounding voice. You also don't see Daniel Day-Lewis there as Lincoln. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be great. And it shows in the trailer, it shows obviously scenes from the single most pivotal parts of his life, which is when he was president. And he was president during a war, a civil war. The only civil war, thank God, this country has ever endured. And, you know, one that was going to either mean the end of the country or one that was going to ensure that it endured. And, you know, Lincoln's the reason. Lincoln's the reason.
Well, we won then, right?
Yes, we won. What do you think happened?
Are you kidding?
What?
No, we lost. The Confederate, we'd say we, America won as a country because the war ensured the country would last. Is that what you mean?
No, I just wondered who won.
Are you out of your mind, man? The North won, you dumbass.
All right.
God, who won? All right, we'll be right back with more of this scintillating conversation. If you want to know who won the Civil War, stick around. We'll get into depth on that one. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth who is won? Our bitch.
Why, man?
The Phil Hendry Show.
I know that.
All right, let me get on the line here. Jeff Downer from Temple City, California this evening. Jeff, how are you doing?
Doing good. Real good, Mr. Harry.
Okay, Bud?
Yeah, well, hey, Jeff. Jeff.
Yeah.
Okay. When Mr. Henry was talking about the Civil War.
Yeah, okay, hold on. This is why I call in, Mr. Henry. Bud wasn't saying, did America win? Bud knows that America won. Okay? Okay, Mr. Henry?
Yeah.
What he was asking was, which America won, but was that the North or the South? And I know what you're going to say, but...
You don't know what part of the country?
I know there were slaves. I know that, and I know the part that didn't want slaves didn't want it.
And the part that didn't want slaves won. You know that, right?
Yeah, I know that.
Okay, well, but you don't know if that was the North or the South?
That you're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. I know that America won.
It was the part that had slaves was not the North. It was the South.
And they're the ones that won? No, they didn't win. Are you curious?
Mr. Turner, I've had this conversation with Bud before, and I think, once before on your program. And most recently, if I may say, Bud, you remember we were last week at Terry Cahill's house, okay? Remember, she was having a party, right?
Yeah.
Okay, we got in the same discussion last week because he's all, and you know, I mean, all right, I won't say nothing, man, but hitting the crack pipe is probably a...
I didn't hit no crack pipe, man, okay?
You're not hitting that stuff, are you?
No, I'm not.
Well, and what's the story? If you're talking about America winning, okay?
It was the North. It was the North that was the part of the country that was a free part of the country that represented the Union. It was the South.
That what?
The South was the Confederacy. The Southern states were... the part of the country that seceded, that was the part of the country that, for the most part, wanted to keep slavery because it was important to the agribusiness, the agricultural business of that region of the country.
See, that's what you do. You always do that.
Phil, you're too involved. He's getting upset.
You always do it.
What are you crying about?
Just answer yes or no.
The South had slaves they lost.
Yeah, that's what you got to do, Mr. Henry. I'm sorry.
Okay, now I get it.
God, man. Well, what did I do wrong?
Phil, you get very involved with your answer. You go, well, the South and the agribusiness and this. He doesn't understand.
I guess I do, but I wish you'd just say it.
The South lost. They had slaves. The North won. They didn't have slaves. The North and versus the South, okay?
Then how come the South is part of America?
The South's always been part of America, you idiot. What are you talking about?
What do you mean?
If they lost,
the South was treated really bad after they lost. Yeah, you're right, Bud. They had their ass kicked, and there was an occupying army, and they were treated real bad. And they were, and maybe some people think that they should have been, and some people think they should. Lincoln didn't think so. Lincoln, if Lincoln had lived, he wanted to treat the South fairly. He had the famous quote from Lincoln was, "Malice toward none, charity toward all." He wanted to re-embrace Southerners as our countrymen, which is what they are and always have been. And he didn't want to punish, and he didn't want to have severe Reconstruction methods.
See, here you go again.
Yeah, you're talking, you're using a lot of big words.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, I mean, that's why I called up.
Go ahead.
Okay, Bud.
What?
Don't go what, man? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, look. The South lost. Okay? Okay, Bud?
Yeah.
Okay. The South lost. And after they lost, everybody in the North said, yeah, kick their ass because, on account of what Mr. Henry just said, because Lincoln got shot by a dude from down there.
Oh, yeah, that's the guy's Booth, right?
What?
The guy's name of Boo?
John Wilkes Boo? No, John Wilkes Booth.
Okay, Booth.
Not Boo.
Yeah, and John Wilkes Booth, or I don't even know if he was from the South, but anyway, he shot Lincoln.
Well, why, if you got from the South?
Because he thought that Lincoln was a scumbag, man. That's all I've been trying to tell you. Okay? So anyway, after he did it, then the North people went, yeah, okay, that's it, man. You know, that's it. All bets are off. And they went down and started kicking ass on everybody because they thought that Southern people killed Lincoln.
Well, didn't they?
No, they didn't, man. and they did. It was this guy named Boo, or not Boo, but Booth, okay?
Are you guys that clear on John Wilkes Booth's name?
Somebody told us it was Boo. Not somebody told us, but somebody told Bud.
Who told you that, Bud?
I mean, I thought it was R.C., but I'm not sure.
R.C. Collins. John Wilkes Boo?
He said the guy's name was John Boo or Joe Boo, something like that.
No, it wasn't Joe Boo. It was John Wilkes Boo, Boone, or Boo.
Go ahead.
All right, so anyway, so after he'd done it, then guess what? The North went, okay, all bets are off. Let's go down and just kick ass. So the North goes down to the South, the North went down to the South, the South didn't go to the North.
Well, of course they're not.
Well, I mean, you could say the South went to the North to get their ass kicked, but nobody's going to travel to get their ass kicked. So,
that was the part I was concerned about.
You know something? Hold on for a minute, Jeff.
Okay.
You guys have got to be the biggest knuckleheads in the history of the planet Earth.
Why?
Did the South come to the North to get its ass kicked?
In the war.
Yeah, okay, I know, but we're talking about Lincoln getting assassinated.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Yeah, the South stayed there.
The South stayed there. Even if the South decided, oh, you know what, we killed Lincoln, we better go get our ass kicked by the North, how would they travel North to get their ass kicked?
That's what I was saying to Bud.
Yeah, no, I understand.
Was it ever a question?
Bud was saying, after Booth killed Lincoln, he said, you said the South got its ass kicked by the North. I go, yeah. I go, well, did they come up for it? And I go, no, they stayed where they were.
Well, what are you looking at me like that for?
Because, dude, that's sad. Just sad. And you, Jeff.
What?
You're a professor of mechanical physics at Caltech.
Yeah? You notice there's nothing in that title that says history, right? Yeah, hey, man. Surprise.
I don't care, man. I don't care if your specialty isn't history. I'm not even a college professor, and even I know that the South didn't travel to the North to get its ass kicked after it killed Lincoln. And you're right about one thing. The South did not kill Lincoln, bud. It was John Wilkes Booth that killed Lincoln. The South paid the penalty. The South was the object of the wrath. Am I using too many big words?
No.
The South was the object of the wrath of the North after that.
Yeah, so anyway, let me just finish up here, Mr. Aaron, if it's okay.
Go ahead.
So anyway, the North got pissed off because Lincoln got killed, and so they just kicked ass. They kept on kicking ass, and they kicked ass for like 100 years, just, you know, beating down on them and everything. And that's why when you go down South, everybody eats like peanuts, and they're all, well, they're not dumb or anything, but a lot of people think they act dumb because they weren't. At one time, they was dumb, eating boiled peanuts and being dumb, you know?
Yeah, because my uncle comes from originally Kentucky, and people say that he was dumb, and a lot of people I talk to down there are dumb.
Yeah, but you know something, bud? You go down South, and you talk to the folks down there, they'll probably think you're right at home, the way you talk.
Yeah, well, that's true, man. I mean, you know, you're not exactly going to be... Nobody's going to mistake you for Phi Beta Kappa. You know?
Yeah, no one's going to mistake you on a Phi Beta Kappa.
Yeah, except for one thing, man. I teach at a college. Oh, sorry about that, man. I hope that doesn't sting.
No, that's not... doesn't hurt.
Look, what are you two idiots talking about? Who's smarter? Anyway, bud, the South has had a very long and tough history. They're tough people. They're good people. They've come through it. We're Americans, okay? And as I've often said, some of the most patriotic people in this country are Southerners.
You're saying that the Southerners, they're patriotic for the Confederate.
No, you idiot. They're patriotic for the America.
The America with the red, white, and blue?
Yeah.
Don't you get that, man?
All right.
Okay, so that's great. Thanks a lot, Jeff.
Yeah, okay. But, I mean, can I also put in a plug for my my brother-in-law's slot car track that he opened up in Temple City? It's called Race-O-Rama, and it's going to be open on Tuesday.
I told him I didn't want that, okay?
Yeah, he tried to slip it in.
Yeah. I told him specifically, no, he ain't doing any plugs for his brother-in-law's slot car track.
What's that?
This is a slot car track. This cat's still into slot cars, man. You know those little cars?
Yeah, man, I used to have them. These people still do that?
There's some cats that are still into that stuff, yeah. We'll be back. World famous, so I hope we straighten that out, bud. The North won, and that was the part that didn't have slaves.
Yeah.
Great. Phil Hendry Show.
It's on Las Tunas Boulevard. It's my foot track, our track, so race with.
Hendry.
Heard this story. It's pretty interesting. It's from Wisconsin. It's completely off of presidential politics, which probably is a good thing here. We're off of the debate stuff. This is a woman who's a television anchor in Wisconsin. I just saw this story. I was going over pictures of first ladies on TV.
Well, I think the E! Network had the women that had played first ladies in movies. And they had Jean Triplehorn, and they had the very lovely Katie Holmes, and the very lovely Laura Linney. She's just gorgeous.
Yeah.
What do you mean, yeah? You're blowing it off.
That's great. I mean, I'm on to a different story, though.
Well, I just thought you should see this. This is... I know you have an opinion of E, Phil, that is a bit elitist. You think E does not have the right to weigh in on these topics. And in on any other day, in any other town, as the poet said, I might agree with you. But I think that E makes...
All right, Margaret, I got to get going, okay, if you're going to give a speech.
Well, are you looking?
Yeah, Laura Linney's fantastic. I don't care. E's great, and I love E, but don't start telling me that E is now the arbiter and the commentator on history. That's all I'm trying to say. That's all I'm trying to say. Now, E's not trying to be a commentator. I just thought it was funny when they were weighing, well, you know, Lincoln, the best man to play Lincoln. Well, how do you guys know?
Well, Phil, I think they're film critics.
They're film critics. Okay. And it turns out Daniel Day-Lewis is a great actor. I agree with him. All right, so let me move on to this. There's a woman who is a TV news anchor in Wisconsin. Her name is Jennifer Livingston. And Jennifer Livingston, as a television anchor in Wisconsin, got an email from a viewer who said that she was too fat, and as being a woman too fat, was not a suitable role model for young people, young ladies. And she responded to this, and she has been on the Ellen DeGeneres show, she has been on the CBS This Morning show, she's been on a lot of shows as a result, because her response to this email from this viewer... that she was too fat and did not make a good role model. Her response apparently hit a chord, a positive note, with lots and lots of viewers to the point where it made national news. Now, down through the years, we've all heard stories about the suitability of television anchors and their looks. Generally, it's something that has to do with females. Oh, she's too this, she's too that. The guys can be so ugly that, you know, they would make a, as the saying goes, make a freight train take a dirt road. Okay, bud, take it easy.
No, I like that one, too.
But in any event, yeah, we got some guys on television that are so ugly, it's frightening, but nobody says anything about that, because guys are allowed to be physically ugly, so long as they're very, you know. Women, on the other hand, there's a little bit of a different standard. Now, in a four-minute on-air segment, Livingston responded to somebody who wrote her an email telling her she needed to lose weight. While most of us would be mortified if we received such an email and would hit the delete button without sharing it, Livingston chose a different route. She saw the letter as a symbol of the way people bully each other over their looks, and she used it to send a message to children that their self-worth is not defined by their appearance. In her segment, she noted that October is National Anti-Bullying Month, so she said to all the children out there who feel lost, who are struggling with weight, she mentioned skin color, and I'm not going to nitpick because I know what she's trying to say, but... there's a difference between excess weight and skin color, and nobody ever really stops and notices the difference or points it out, because maybe it's too difficult, but there is a difference, and I don't think it's right to say that religion and weight are the same as skin color and gender, you know?
What do you mean?
Well, what I mean is religion and weight are two things that can be changed. Skin color, gender... even sexual orientation, they cannot be. You are that thing for the rest of your life. And to bully somebody over their skin color, their orientation, or their gender, in my opinion, is really reprehensible and is real scumbag behavior. Bullying someone over their weight and bullying someone over their religion is also pretty scummy behavior and ignorant. But it's also ignorant of the person who's the recipient of this to say that it's the same as race. I don't think that people who are being who are being attacked for their religion should allow themselves to compare themselves to people who have been attacked because of their race. That's all. You know.
Well, I do see that there is a difference, but are you saying that people who attack those because of their religion are not scumbags or what?
I'm saying that it depends on what their attack is. If you are attacking somebody because they're a Muslim, just because they're a Muslim, because all Muslims are dirtbags in your opinion, then you're a moron, and you don't deserve to be taken seriously. And, you know, in any real serious discussion, you'd lose your ass. If you are attacking Muslims because you think that some of them have been violent, well, you're also scattershotting and being broad brush and not being too intelligent, but at least you're getting closer to the mark. If, however, you attack certain violent sects within the Muslim faith or certain violent sects within the Christian faith and call them out for what they are, hypocritical and et cetera, then I think you're right on the money. And that is not attacking somebody because of their religion. That's attacking somebody because of how perverse their thinking is. You know, so that when some of these so-called Christians say that they're being attacked for their religion when they are homophobic, for instance, when they're people that believe in denying civil rights to certain people, and when you call them out, they say they're being attacked for their religion, those people are hypocrites, and I think the attack should continue.
Yeah, what they're being called, your Christian faith sucks.
Look, if somebody is saying, man, I don't believe that these gay people should have rights, I'm a Christian, and you turn around and attack that person and say, you Christians suck, now you're blowing it, man. Now you just gave that guy the power right back that he lost. You say, oh, you Christians. No, you got to say, you homophobic people that hide behind your religion suck. But I'm not saying Christians suck because there's all kinds of different Christians.
So the people are making a mistake.
Yeah, they're making a big mistake. People that are trying to stand up for the rights of gay people, just as an example, are making a huge mistake, and you're losing the propaganda war, and that's what it is. You're losing the propaganda war when you turn around and say Christians are a bunch of bigots, because those Christians that are bigots will stand there in all of their self-righteousness and say, look, you're attacking my faith. I mean, they almost imagine themselves to be Jesus at that moment, hanging from a cross. I mean, you give them more power when you say to them, you Christians, this, that, and that. What you need to say is, you bigoted people who claim to be Christians, you're not. But, you know, that's a part of that propaganda battle that has partially been lost, or not lost, but it's been, they've had to regain the ground, I think, because that's what happened. They attacked the Christians in general. And so now those cats make this claim about, yeah, you know, just because we're expressing our rights concerning gay people, now we're being persecuted. And this is an anti-religious attack. And it's, our rights to our freedom of religion. I mean, they've really gotten some momentum out of that. And that's because of this not a very educated campaign. And so that's why I point that out, you know.
Well, but you still don't think that fat people should be bullied.
No, of course not. Of course not. Just don't say that being fat is the same as having skin color, because it's not. You're fat, and you may have a predisposition, and you may be young, and I think it's reprehensible to attack children, underage people, for their weight or their looks. I think it's the lowest form of behavior there is. And watch, I'll probably now get emails attacking somebody that I know who's underage because, you know.
Yeah, you get some hate mail now.
Okay, fine. But the point is that if you're an adult and you are overweight and you know better and you're educated, don't start comparing yourself to people who have black skin or are, gay or are women or otherwise are, put into this category. Anyway, this lady is, however, a very courageous lady, and she went on to say that don't allow these kinds of bullies to exist. Now, the guy that wrote the letter, his name is Kenneth Kraus, and I got to say to you, Mr. Kraus, thank you for signing your name. You know?
Well, what is that supposed to mean? I mean, do you realize what this man said?
No, I know what he said, but do you realize how many of these kinds of letters are sent where they're anonymous? The people don't want to sign their names because anonymity gives you a certain power that you don't have if you sign your name. The letter writer, though, he did sign his name. His name is Kenneth Krause. He's a personal injury attorney, supposedly, and he, quote, appears to spend just as much time working out as perhaps he does writing letters or being a personal injury attorney, and maybe this links his looks. Here he is. There's a picture of him here. Ken Krause is an anti-obesity crusader. At least he has the physique to back it up. Here he is as he's posing in this picture. I don't know, this might be a Facebook picture. And he does look like he works out. And, hell, if I were him, man, I'd sign my name, too. Here's a picture on Phil TV.
Oh, God, isn't he lovely?
Wait a minute. There he is.
What about the picture you put on a homepage?
I don't look that good. Are you kidding? I put that picture on a homepage because people have been asking me, what the hell do you look like? So there it is. And I you know, I did what I did. So in any event, this guy signed his name. He has not backed down from his comments. Krause told Livingston that he did not believe she was a suitable role model, especially for young girls. His letter had nothing to do with bullying. He's just telling the truth. He was telling the Associated Press this. Efforts to reach Krause at his office Wednesday were unsuccessful.
Oh, he's hiding.
Maybe. Maybe he's hiding. Maybe he was just out working out or riding his bike. In a sign of just how explosive the use of the word bullying is these days, the controversy over Livingston's response has spun off into a related debate. Was Krause's letter really bullying the news anchor? No, said one columnist for the Christian Science Monitor. It was rude, it was cruel, but it wasn't bullying. But it is a sign of bully creep. There you go. We'll be back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Don't be a bully creep.
Don't let bullying creep.
Creep up on you. We'll be back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show. I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about.
I just don't think, but you know me, you know that I keep fit, and you know, Phil, and I don't talk that much about myself, I'm 50-something, but I'm pert, I do, and I don't want any comments. If I see so much as one comment from him...
Bud, I'm not saying nothing.
I am firm, all right? You can ask my husband. But I still don't think you should attack a woman for her weight, and I still don't think that it is... It's not that different. Well, you say it's different from skin color. I don't quite see it that way. There are some things we can't help.
All right, hold on. I'm going to give it to you in perfect perspective because I happen to know a little something about being overweight. I don't know anything about being a woman. I don't know anything about being black. I don't know anything about being Jewish. But I do know something about being fat. And when I say fat, I mean obese. Two summers ago...
Well, Phil, it's the... Come on now.
Hold on. Hold on. You open the door, man. I'm walking through, okay?
I'm not saying...
Whoa! Two summers ago, I was 300 pounds. 306 pounds, to be exact. And I got all kinds of email from people. I don't share it on the air. I got all kinds of email, all kinds of comments from people, you know, who didn't like me. You fat slob, you fat pig, this, that, okay? Now, are you trying to tell me that I could have realistically come on the air and sat here with a straight face and said, you know, you people out there attacking me for my weight, that's like attacking somebody's skin color.
Well.
Yeah. Now that it's Phil, now that it's Mr. Talk Show Host.
Well, I thought you said that that isn't right.
I don't think it's right. I don't think it's right. That has nothing to do with what people who face prejudice because of skin color, gender, sexual orientation, and these things that are from birth, the reality of someone's life, got nothing to do with it. And if you thought I'm going to sit here, and I'm not saying that that's what this young lady, Ms. Livingston, is doing, the TV anchor, she brought that up as an example of, she was trying to talk about bullying. Okay, so I'm not saying she's parading being overweight like, oh, wow, you might as well talk about my skin color. But she did incorrectly.
I don't think it was incorrect. She's talking about bullying.
All right, she's talking about bullying. She's talking about bullying. If she's talking about bullying, then forget about skin color. Forget about weight. Let's just talk about bullying then. What are you talking about? This is why...
You know, Phil, sorry, I have to interrupt. You took a beautiful moment that this young woman was trying to share, a moment of triumph, or as the French say, a moment of triomphe. A moment of triomphe, you know that, right?
I know what?
You know that if we are to draw our inspiration from Napoleonic times, the triomphe of the moment.
That's okay.
Oh, boy. Boy, you're really asking for it.
What do you mean asking for? Great, okay. So it was the moment of triumph, and I'm robbing from this woman her moment of triumph. What am I doing?
You're taking a moment of triumph, and you're essentially like any dog near any tree. You're lifting your leg to it. Well, you are.
No, I am not. No. No, I'm not. But it really bugs me, and it'll always drive me ape, and it'll drive me nuts to the day that I die. One of the problems we have in this country is we are not specific, we don't define, and so we lump everything together, and the next thing you know, we've got a discussion that isn't a discussion at all. We have no idea what we're talking about. We're talking about three different things when we think we're talking about one thing. We already have more confusion than we will ever have with the internet, and I'll tell you, as much as I love the internet and as much as a source of information as it is the biggest cluster you know what when it comes to trying to figure stuff out. It is not a place to debate things. It's not a place to discuss things. First of all, there's too many stupid people. Second of all, there's too many stupid people that want to be stupid. Third of all, there's too many smart people that want to be stupid. And fourth of all, there's...
Too many smart people that are stupid.
Too many smart people that are stupid. Yeah, thank you, bud.
Whatever that means.
Well, I think it makes sense. So... Why not be clear? Is she talking about bullying? If she's talking about bullying, let's just talk about bullying. You know, they bullied me because of my weight. They bullied this kid over here because of his skin color. Now, I'm not saying that my weight and skin color, I'm talking about being the victim of abuse as the result of the way you are. Now, in her case, the guy said you are not a proper role model for young people. I believe he was very impolite. I think he was probably not even serious. I think he just wanted to take a shot. I don't know. I think this role model for young girls is always the fallback for douchebags like that. However, is it bullying? I don't think so. Now, if she wants to be overweight, that's her business. Is she obese? I don't know. I didn't see her, you know.
Yeah, show a picture of her so you get a good look at it.
What do you mean by it?
I'm talking about the relevant areas. I mean, let's be honest about it, Miss Gray. I don't mean to be mean or nothing, but they want to know if it's okay to be fat. I want to take good gander at it and see what the goods are.
Yeah, I want to see what it looked like.
What do you mean by it? This will be the last time I ask.
Whoa, hold on. Are you talking about her ass?
Yes.
Her ass.
Woo! Boy, you...
What, am I asking for it?
Yes.
Hold on. Now, it's rude to say that to a woman. We don't have a lot of manners these days. If you look at guys, I'm going to give you an example. Men today are really slob-like. I went out to dinner with a woman, I don't know, 2-3 years ago. All I did was pull a chair out for her. And you would have thought that I was the king of England, man. The woman that seated us, the hostess, the waitress. Oh, my God, look at this man. He pulled the chair out for. Do you realize? And when I finally said, I said, what's the big deal? They said, men today, younger men, guys in their 20s, are slobs. They don't know anything about opening a door. They don't know anything about pulling out a chair. They're slobs. They were not taught these things by their parents. So as a result, I was the hero of the moment, and I slept with four women that night. Now,
seriously?
No, not seriously. But the fact is, today, guys don't know how to talk to women. Now, this guy who wrote the email about this woman's weight, maybe he's in love with her. Maybe he wants to look at her ass. Maybe he likes fat women. Who knows? But I suspect that this guy is, if he is an anti-obesity crusader, he's talking about her being a bad role model. He just doesn't know how to say it in a way that she's going to hear it. So as a result, she just thinks she's being bullied. And what he's trying to say is, I don't think you're a very good role model being on TV with all of that fat.
Well, I still think he should keep his big fat mouth shut, you know, because I can see the big guns on this guy. He works out, he rides bikes, and he's probably got a cocktail, Frank.
Yeah! Cocktail Frank, man. You ought to have him over the house to serve Cocktail Frank.
Well, maybe I will.
Is that your husband's name?
Why, you dirty...
Wait, hey. You're the one that said cocktail, Frank.
Yeah, what is that, Frank's nickname?
If I weren't a lady, the two of you would be lying there with blood coming from your eyes right now. Good night and have a very pleasant tomorrow.
The two of you would be lying there with blood coming from your eyes.
Yeah, I heard that.
The world-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft. And how's that for a lockout? And me, Phil Henry, don't forget to join us online at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com for a backstage pass and your entree into the wonderful world of Phil. Until tonight at 10, let that be a lesson to you. Thanks, guys. See you later.
Hey, everybody. See you later.
Phil Henry.